you never know when you might. Of course, somebody went into my desk and borrowed the screwdriver that was in the kit with all the little pads and screws and all that. But I had another one, so. Y'all understand, you young people don't have a clue. When you get to be my age and your lens falls out of your glasses and you're trying to put that little screw in without your glasses on and tighten it up, it don't work so well because that little screw's invisible. That's all right. You know, we're having a great day today. You know, there are just a couple ordinances that we observe in the church that we hold very dear. One is communion and one is baptism. I'm going to preface this. This might be a walking on water baptism today. We discovered yesterday that the heater was broken. But you know, in Bible times, they would go down to the river, go down to the lake, and they would go in the water. Didn't matter. I've seen them do it in the ocean. So, you know, at least it's water. We're going to have a baptism. And some of you are saying, Pastor, what's with the stuff on the pews? What's one of the other things we rejoice? Weddings. We're having a wedding here this afternoon. We're not, but the Chinese church is. So for this evening's service, our congregation is going to meet back in the Filipino room, back in the small chapel for service tonight, because I don't know how long this wedding's going to take today, and we told them that they can have the sanctuary for whatever time they need today. But let's go to the Word in prayer, and then we'll go into the Word. Father, thank you for the day. Father, just thank you for truth from your Word that we can see. And Lord, I pray that as we look into your Word today, that Father, you will help us to see truth. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Luke chapter 1. Most of us grew up looking at the gospel account of the birth of our Savior. And you're thinking, well, Pastor, it's the 1st of December. Yep. And we're going to get to the birth. But not today. Well, maybe. Luke chapter 1, the first four verses are the prologue. It's one sentence. In the original writing, the first four verses is one sentence. And it says, inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word deliver them to us, it seems good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus. Now you may know that certainty, you may know that certainty of those things in which you were instructed. He set, in verse 1, to set in order. Not necessarily chronological, but in a logical, factual order, Dr. Luke is going to tell us what happened. And he says, the things you have, which have been fulfilled. He wrote this before Jesus was born. No, this was written after the birth of the Savior. So all the Old Testament prophecies that have been completed to this point is what he's referring to, including the birth of the Savior. Things which you have been fulfilled among us. are Old Testament prophecies. And Luke's saying, I'm going to tell you in an orderly fashion what has happened and what is going to be happening. And it says, just as those who from the beginning would be what? Genesis 1:1. Just as from the beginning everything has been laid out for us. That's what's been fun this year, of going through the book of Genesis slowly. But not too... I mean, we didn't go slow because there's so much in it. You know, I spent 2 and 3 years teaching youth groups and did at the same topic and didn't get as far as we've gotten because there's so much in it. But it says, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. Do you know what? The apostles delivered a message to us through the scripture, didn't they? Why do you think we have 66 books? Because we have all of these writings that have been given to us to teach us what God wants us to know. In verse 3 it says, it seems good to me also, having had had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write them to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. If we didn't have the complete Word of God, perfect. Now, yes, you're going to find a punctuation mistake. There's punctuation. Is this thing still on? Some of y'all are watching those leaves fall. Because it's fall, and the leaves are falling out of those trees. But let's follow God's Word here. But He wants it in an orderly account so that we can follow what's happening. And then we go on to verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, king of Judah, a certain priest. Now you realize there were lots of priests. Just wasn't a few guys. Okay? And each one of them got their turn at being the temple priest. And it lasted for approximately a week. From all accounts, they were there. Their job, I'm going to tell you. You know what their job was? Anybody remember their job? It's right here. We'll get to it. They would go into, not into the Holy of Holies, because they weren't allowed in there. Right outside of the Holy of Holies, in the morning, they would light incense as the sweet aroma to God. And then in the afternoon, they would do it again, because the incense would never go out. It was considered a high privilege to serve in this capacity. This wasn't something that a grade school student would be asked to do. This was a priestly duty. So there was a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. What do we know about both of them? From what that verse says, they're both, husband and wife, are both from a priestly line. We know he is because he had to be to get the position, and we know that she is because she was of the daughters of Aaron. Both him and her are from a priestly line. You know, we talked last week about being able to trace your genealogy back. They know who they are. They know that they came from a priestly line. And they were both, verse 6, righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Man, we get hung up on the first 10. we have a hard time following 10 simple commandments. It says that they kept them all. Now, it doesn't mean they were perfect. Trust me, they weren't perfect. Verse 7 says they had no children. We've talked about this before. It was an embarrassment. You were looked down on. I don't know if it ever happened to you. It didn't take. But if you see a couple that gets married and they wait 4 or 5 years to get married, what questions people say? You ever going to have kids? Is that not one of the standard questions? I asked that of my daughter. When are you going to have a baby? You got married in July. No, I don't. I haven't started that yet, but I will pretty soon. I need more grandkids. But people that go a long time. Well, here's a woman who's old. And it says, Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in their years. We don't know how old they were, but we know they were well advanced in their years. Who does that sound like? We looked at a few weeks ago in the Old Testament. Me? Have a child? Anyway. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the customs of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside the hour of incense. You know, when the priest would go in, everybody knew the time the priest was supposed to go in. When they went in, the people gathered outside. The other priests were out there, but also the other people who followed after God would gather outside, and they would wait for him to go in and do what he was doing. And it says an hour. Well, he got stuck. Because in verse 11 it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell on him. What do we know in almost every instance when an angel of God appears to somebody? They get afraid. Fear comes upon them. I got to tell you, if I woke up in my prayer phone and there was an angel standing there talking to me, then I knew it was an angel. Guess what? I'd be afraid too. I'm not going to lie to you. If an angel appeared right now here, I'd be back in three up. Y'all think I'm crazy. You would too. Angels show up at your doorstep, you'd be wondering too. In almost every instance, actually I believe every instance that we see an angel appear to someone in the Bible, some form of fear fell upon them. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. You know, we know that God answers prayer. Why do we not have? Because we don't ask. We would have more if we would ask for more. But what do we need to do? We need to get down on our knees before our holy God and ask Him. We need to talk to Him. And it's not just 3 times a day for the food that we have. But He says, do not be afraid. Your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Where did we see John? Last week. John the Baptist. John the Baptist is not the writer of John. Okay? 2 different Johns. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will receive at his birth. For he will be great in it. The sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Christmas story. Mary goes to visit Mom when she's pregnant, and what happens? The baby leaps inside of her. Because the baby, John, realizes in the even in his mother's womb, realizes he's in the presence of God. But we'll get there next week. And it says in verse 16, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. What did John do? John went about preaching and telling people about the Messiah. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in her years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. We see Gabriel in the Old Testament. We only see two angels named. This is one of them. But in verse 20 it says, but behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. You know, here he is praying for something. God answers his prayer, and he doesn't believe it. Oh, wait. Is it any different today? No. We ask God for things. And, oh, yeah, I know he'll do that. But then when he does it, oh, I didn't know he could do that. But look at verse 21. It says, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he had lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. Normally what would happen when the priest would come out of the temple after doing their incense, they would actually do a mini sermon and give them blessings from God. And that's why the people waited and waited and waited. But when he comes out, he can't say a thing.
So it was, as soon as the days of his service were complete, that he departed to his own home. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dwelt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Doesn't say that she's above. Says she's blessed among the women. Look over at verse 37. And we'll go back next week and we'll pick up on this. But verse 37 says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Here you have Elizabeth and Zacharias, who they prayed for a child. God says, you're going to have a baby. Well, how can that be? We're old. With God, nothing is impossible. You got troubles? You got problems that you can't deal with? How do we deal with those things that come up? We go to God and we pray. The angel came and said to Zacharias, your prayer is heard. You know what I know? I know that the prayers that we send up every week are heard by God. God listens when we talk to him. We're his children.
We're part of the family of God. Got a problem? Take it to Him. Got something you need to deal with? Take it to Him. He'll hear your prayers. He'll answer your prayers if you just call on Him. If you're sitting here today, and you know, as I talk with other pastors and other godly people, and we look at what's happening around us, we think, man, how much longer is it going to be till the Lord comes back? If you're sitting here today and you're not sure where you'd spend eternity, today's the day to know. Because what if He was to come back before we were done here? You were still here, and we're gone. It's going to happen. And I believe it'll happen soon. I know it's not going to happen when the predictors are predicting, but it's going to happen soon. And if you're not ready, you're not sure, see me after the service. I'd love to open God's Word with you and show you. But let's pray right now. Father, we just thank You for this day, Lord, for Your Word. Father, I just thank You that You loved us so much that You sent Your Son so many years ago to die on the cross for us. Father, I thank You for the opportunity we have to fellowship together, to open Your Word. Father, I thank You for the table behind me that symbolizes Your broken body and Your shed blood that was shed for our sins. Father, I thank You for the water that's in the baptistry that is just symbolic. But it's also a way that we could proclaim just how great You are and that You have taken those sins away. And Father, now as we prepare for the next part of this service, I pray that You'll just guide each one of us. And Father, I pray that there's someone here today that does not know You as their Lord and Savior, that today might be their day of salvation. And I pray this in Your most holy name. Amen.